Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from
Amen.
The Holy Scripture.
Amen.
Good morning, great Scott.
Good morning, Timotheus.
How are you today, sir?
I'm well. Are you all right?
I'm well. The sun is shining. The birds are singing, and you have to be... Even those bad days, you still have to be a little better when you see the glory of creation.
Reminds me of the old hymn, "There's sunshine in my soul today."
There you go.
Amen?
And that could be even on a cloudy, rainy day.
Sure it can be.
There you go.
Yeah. Folks could call and tell us what's in their soul today if they'd like.
Yeah, they sure can. They can give us a call at 606-789-0318. That's 789-0318. Or if you are a high-tech guy like the great Scott here.
Come on now.
You can email us.
At God's Point of View at yahoo.com. God's Point of View at yahoo.com. We have a couple of emails today, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a carryover from last week. We didn't get to it last week because a little different format.
No, we done the first time ever, but it worked out just fine.
I think so. I thought it did, and that's good to know that that's a possibility, should that take place or should necessity required in the future. Just called in last week, and it worked well.
Now, it's better, though, I think, in my personal opinion, if we're here face-to-face.
I agree.
You know,
I
think it's, and for guys, we bond that way
together.
Sure we do. But we can see each other's reactions, and I think it helps us.
I think so. Yeah. I think any time that you can spend time with a person, face-to-face, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man
sharpens another.
And so this is a biblical principle. But on those occasions where you have a sick spouse and can't get out, or you're just lazy.
Yeah.
You get
Now let's see. You had the sick spouse.
I had the sick spouse.
So what does that say?
I'm not going to go any further with that.
You know, I'm not dare going to call in because I'd be the lazy one then.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we had a question a couple of weeks ago about organ donation.
Not organ that you play in church.
No.
Organ.
But you know, we have had folks talk to us about that in times past.
Yeah.
But anyway, organ donation.
I was thinking somebody thinking, you want me to donate the church?
No. We're good.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're good. We've got a what do you call them?
We got electric piano.
Yeah.
Or a piany, as Granny Clampett used to say. Anyway.
Someone emailed at godspointofview@yahoo.com and asked about organ donation. What does the Bible have to say about organ donation? Is there anything in the Bible about organ donation? I have, this is part two of the question, actually a two-part question. And I have issues about what you wear to church. Now, I don't know if she's talking to you or he's talking to you, Timothy. I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but I don't know if they're talking to you or they're talking to me. Actually, they're talking to, they've got it in quotes.
Well, I usually am up in the booth. So here we go. Now, you're the one in front of everyone.
So I have issues with what you wear to church, quote, what you wear to church, end quote.
Yeah.
And if women should cut their hair, can you address this sometime when you have time, please. Must be a woman because they're kind and said, please. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Oh, so let's talk about organ donation for just a moment.
That's a several-part question.
That really is.
That's
going
to take a few minutes.
Yeah, I saw that 2 weeks ago and obviously hadn't looked at it close enough in the last couple of days. But we can do this, Timothy.
Oh, absolutely.
We can do this.
I have faith in you, and I'm praying, brother.
Thank you, my brother. The Bible says nothing about modern-day organ donation because organ donation is a modern-day piece of business or a modern day function. The technology did not exist certainly in Bible days, and the Bible really doesn't speak about that. But there are principles, Timotheus. You would have thought that there would be principles in the Bible about most everything, right?
I'm guessing there's a
then
principle.
Then you would have thought correctly, because the Bible talks about, even as far back in the book of Leviticus, Chapter 19, about treating people with respect, loving people, doing that which is best for people, treating your neighbor as you would want to be treated. And in Romans 13, verse 9, Paul talks about loving your neighbor. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5, in verse 43. 1 John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." There are principles there about how we should treat our neighbor. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And so if a person is dying and they know that they're not going to survive, and after their death, this is crucial. This point is crucial. We're seeing Planned Parenthood videos now where they're taking little babies and they're killing them, and aborting them, and then taking their organs and their body parts,
the tissue,
but oftentimes these babies are killed to begin with. That's what the abortion process does. But some of them are born alive. There was a video some time ago that I watched a portion of.
Mm-hmm.
And the child was fully developed.
His
eyes weren't open yet, none of those things. But they touched the child's chest with an instrument, and the heart began to beat. You could see it beating.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going after the brain. They actually showed on this video how they made the incisions, and the baby's still alive.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different. That's a whole different subject matter, but the principle is the same. Organ donation today is done and provided by people who know that when they die, they can still benefit someone.
Yeah.
And so whether it's a heart or a lung or a kidney or whatever it may be, the Bible teaches that we're to glorify God in all ways, in our body as well as in our spirit. A lot of people have a misunderstanding, and I'll use an illustration that I've used before, not sure that I've used it on the air, about a brother who was concerned about cremation. He couldn't figure out
we've had that question
how
here.
You know, he could be cremated and be pleasing to God. And when I pressed him on it, he said, "Well, if you're cremated, how's God going to get all those ashes back together?" And so,
this is the God of the universe.
Yes, He created us from the dirt, the dust of the ground, so He can certainly put it back together. But
absolutely.
but a lot of people are concerned about that, and we know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15. And so there is a natural body, that's this body, and there is a spiritual body, that's the body that is to come. It will come from the makings of this body in terms of this body going back to the dust, coming forth from the grave. All graves will be opened, and our spirit will return with the Lord Jesus, and it will then enter a new body. But it will be a new body. The emphasis there is on a
new
body, not the old body with the liver and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, while organ donation is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, the principles are mentioned over and over, and over.
But now that's not to say if somebody isn't comfortable maybe with not being an organ donor, that's not a sin.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
But if it's in your heart.
Those are personal choices.
Those are personal choices. Or it could be, God forbid, you have a young child that's going to pass, mm-hmm. and you just don't feel comfortable donating their organs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lord is okay with that.
I do too.
But if you decide, let's give another child a life.
Sure.
Then I think the Lord would be pleased with that as well.
I think so as well. Again, it is an individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not been able to do these types of things until just the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's almost possible to transplant, I guess, about any organ in the body to help preserve life.
Yeah.
So it's a good question, and it's a question that we need to think about. And each family, each person in the family needs to make a personal decision. Personally, the beloved and I have chosen to be organ donors.
May I jump in that club? I am as well.
Amen. I think that we're trying to do something to benefit our fellow man. And I'm not going to need the things that I was given in the physical body, because I'm going to have a new body, mm-hmm. a spiritual body, and the God who formed this one certainly is going to be able to form the next one as well.
Amen.
So I hope that helps. Now, when we come to and if anyone wants to call and offer something on that subject, we'd love for you to call at 7890318
mm-hmm.
or email us at
godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Amen.
He's checking it real time.
Amen.
So if your question comes in, we'll see it.
And what about issues with what you wear to church? I've had people just recently tell me that when I would suggest to them that they come to church, they would point to their clothing and say, well, this is all I've got. And they had on a pair of jeans and a shirt. And I said, hey, what's wrong with that? It's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wear a suit. Somebody suggested they've got to be like the preacher. Listen, I was wearing a suit long before I was a preacher. That has nothing to do with being a preacher. It has to do with personal preference. It has to do with what you get used to. The guy that works in the coal mines doesn't wear a suit every day. I've worn a suit every day almost since my adult life began. At 18, 19 years of age, I've been wearing a suit, coat, and tie. That's not to say you have to wear it or anybody else has to wear it. It's a personal preference, kind of like organ donation we talked about a moment
mm-hmm.
ago. Or people will see someone coming to church maybe on Easter Sunday, and they'll have a lot of extra stuff with hats and all. Listen, bring yourself. Just come on the way you are, as long as you're modestly dressed, as long as you're clean. You know, I want you to be clean.
Yeah.
The Lord told the Israelites, I want you to take a bath, and I want you to change your clothes, have clean clothes,
and
meet me at the mountain.
What is it?
Pretty much what he said.
I heard a statement here, you better duty yourself up. I think it was doll yourself up or something to that, but I think it's, in other words, clean yourself up a little bit. We got company coming.
Now somebody's going to think ill of me.
It was slick yourself up. That's what it
was. Oh, yeah, I think I've heard that one.
Yeah, he went, you better slick yourself up because we've got company coming.
Somebody's going to think ill of me about what I'm about to say to both of you. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. But I have had to tell people before, you stink.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandmother's done that too.
Yeah, they want to do right. They want to come to church. They want to be everything they're supposed to be. But I've had people come and tell me, you know, I don't want to sit by him because he smells so bad. Ooh. And I've gone to that person, and I've said thank you for coming to me and telling me.
Yeah,
because part of my responsibility as pastor is to try to help correct those situations before it gets out of hand.
And people get offended.
They do. They do.
What do you do? How do you handle it?
You go tell your pastor if you're in church, and he'll go to the person and say, listen, you need to practice some hygienetical care before you come to church. And if you don't know what that big word means, it just means get you a bar of Dove soap, and I'll get you a bar if you don't have one.
Yeah.
And help deal with this, because wherever you are,
your body is a temple.
We were in a situation not too long ago where a health care provider just stunk. That's all there is to it.
Oh.
And comment was made after the person, you know, left the room. This person really needs to take some time off and clean themselves up.
Yeah.
Really. So these are delicate situations. Everybody doesn't need to know about it. Everybody don't need to be talking about it. But whether it's at school, whether it's at a radio station, whether it's at church, whether it's at a business downtown, whatever it may be, somebody has to be overseeing that for the benefit of everybody and say, hey, you need to take a bath.
Yeah.
Don't come to church that way. Let me help you with that. Is there anything I can do to help you? I'll wash your feet. I'll start with your feet if you need me to.
Yeah.
That would be a biblical thing to do, wouldn't it?
Amen. Moses? It sure would.
So I think it can be really difficult if you make it difficult, or you can keep it light and get to the point and say, come on now, you know you need. I've dealt with brethren before who just given up on life.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't clean themselves up. They wouldn't get their hair cut. They wouldn't shave their face. No, present company, of course, excluded. they wouldn't do anything like that because they're just giving up.
Yeah.
And I've encouraged them. You need to start by taking some personal interest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people don't want anything to do with me. The reason they don't is because you don't smell good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're shunning you.
Yeah. And so the person took that the way it was intended, and things got better.
Yeah.
It can get better. That leads us right into to the next part about...
I wanted to emphasize there, too, when you said about the clothing, modesty, I think, needs to be, especially this day and time, culture dictates that pretty much anything's okay, and we have addressed this before, but as a man, I can tell you, ladies, when you come and it looks like your skirt or your jeans or your pants were spray painted on you, or you've got your shoulders are all bare and stuff, that is not a good thing for us men, especially in the house of the Lord. There you go.
Amen. Amen. You're absolutely correct.
I just leave it right there.
Absolutely correct. I can't leave it there. I have to take it a step further.
But I said all I needed to say.
I'll take it a step further. It's maybe providential that you bring this up, and maybe providential that this question was held over. I didn't plan it, but held over to this week.
God will use it.
Yeah, because just last night, after the great service we had last night, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about my preaching because I didn't do much preaching last night, we had a couple of young people to be baptized into Christ, and mm-hmm. so we had a great service, like a little mini revival meeting.
Amen.
And a good crowd, and everybody was getting along well, as folks were leaving, I noticed a young lady who doesn't attend our church on a regular basis, but she took me back to the 60s when the miniskirt first came out.
Mm.
Way too short.
Yeah.
Way too short.
Now, see, I did not see her.
Well, I did.
So you can speak on that.
I did.
I didn't see it. So.
And the next time I see her, I'm going to wait for the right time and try to talk with her about changing into something else a little more appropriate.
Yeah.
It's mom and dad's job to take care of that first and foremost. They ought to do that before they leave the house.
And it just came to my mind at one point, I think you told a story about a gentleman that was going to come to church there one day, and you pretty much had to say, not dressed like that. Does that ring?
That is correct. That's been many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And so we've had some folks leave us.
Just doesn't apply just to ladies. It applies to gentlemen as well.
It does not. We've had folks to leave us. Some good people left us years ago because of the way some of our young ladies were dressing. And occasionally that's just part of being a pastor. You have to address those things. No fun. I'd rather talk about predestination and election. But sometimes you got to talk about modest apparel.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. As far as hair is concerned, I think if you got it, what's the old saying? If you got it, flaunt it. If you got it, wear it. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Hair.
Yeah, we're talking about hair.
Hair.
Now, I know where the question comes from. There's this thing about women's hair should be long, men's hair should be short. But when you really get to examining that, first of all, Paul dealt with it in 1 Corinthians. And he never mentioned it to any other church in the New Testament, so I think it was a problem with that particular church. And Paul said, we really don't have a custom about whether you wear your hair short or long. He gave them some principles about nature. Does not nature itself teach you that a woman has long hair? It's her glory. Mm-hmm. Man has short hair. But we, as we do, we always take that to the extreme and try to really explain what the Lord meant, you know?
Very literal.
Yeah, so we've come to this conclusion that long hair means you don't even trim up the split ends, ladies.
Mm.
I mean, you trim them up and you're sinning, right? That's what a lot of people will tell you.
Some people go by and live by
that. And so if you follow that, if you can't even trim the split ends,
yeah,
then what does short hair mean? If long hair means you can't trim the split ends,
yeah, then where's the line with short?
That only bald-headed men could be saved.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, I'm leading to righteousness.
Yeah. You're on the path.
I'm on the path to righteousness.
So come on, let's not be foolish about this. Whatever is honoring Christ. And so, ladies, if you want to cut your hair and have a nice shorter hairdo, I think that's great. If you want to let it grow long like Crystal Gayle, I think that's fine too. I don't have a problem with either of those. I think there are extremes we need to stay away from, but hair really is not one of those earth-shattering
salvation issues.
It's not a salvation issue. It just isn't. And we keep coming back to those kinds of, and the question is legitimate, but we need, yeah, as Paul said, let us go on to perfection.
Yeah.
Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and he says in the Hebrew letter, and of baptisms, and let us go on to perfection. Hair is a stumbling block for a lot of people. And I just want to say to you, if your hair is long or short, come on to church.
Yeah.
Folks, you need to be in church. I can't impress upon you enough how important that is, being in church.
So what kind of, summing that up, is it kind of like the same thing with the organ donation? It's a personal preference?
It is a personal preference.
As what the Lord sees.
Now, come on. We've got to use some common sense here.
Well, you don't,
you've seen some hairdos that just really call attention to the person.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to wear your hair in such a way that's going to cause an embarrassment to the body of Christ.
Well, the ladies were told that the beauty is to come within.
That's right.
Not by adorning of,
right,
rings and jewelry, now, hairdos or clothing,
why,
that kind of
thing. Why did Paul even talk about this? Wasn't going to get into it, but let's get into it.
We're there.
So in Corinth, there was a temple of a lot of prostitutes.
Yeah.
There was a 1,000 prostitutes at one of the temples, one of the pagan temples. And they shaved their head.
Yeah.
They were bald-headed prostitutes. I can't imagine that, but they were bald-headed prostitutes. So some of those women came into church. They became Christians and changed their ways, and now they're in the body of Christ. Paul's trying to teach them that God gave you your hair,
mm-hmm,
as a covering,
mm-hmm,
to glory. So shaving their head was calling attention to what they once were.
Yeah, not what they are now.
Not what they are now. So it was an issue that was there, but the there at Corinth, but the principle could be applied across the board. Anything that you do that calls attention in a negative way, you know, if I wore my hair in a way that would cause attention and cause people to talk more about, hey, have you seen the way that guy's wearing his hair? And it brought a negative connotation to church. I think that is something that ought to be stopped.
Well, it would be hard. And as you're saying that, I'm visualizing you coming in with pink and purple hair.
There you go.
A nose ring, some earrings, and a chain going to each one.
Yeah.
You know, I would be focused on that so much,
yeah,
that I wouldn't hear anything you said.
Yeah. I think you're right. Or one of those mohawks, you know.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You'd look good in a mohawk.
Yeah, come on. I could paint it to orange or
but
pink.
Then you'd have trouble getting your motorcycle helmet on.
That's true. I would. Anyway, these are extreme illustrations we're using, but I hope we're making the point that we ought to live modest, quiet, peaceful lives, exalting the name of Jesus. Let the focus be on him, not on any individual member. That's yeah, all Paul is talking about.
Yeah.
So the next part, is this part three or part four?
Well, we've done the organs, and we've done the clothing, we've done the hair. This is part four.
Okay. The next part has to do with, let's see, hair, wear to church. We talked about that. I think we've got it, Timothy.
We've answered
part three.
Hopefully it has helped the person that emailed that in. Sorry, it took a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But hopefully it helped.
I hope so.
That person and others.
I hope so. All kinds of things we could talk about today. Folks who might have something on your heart, especially after the last 25 minutes, feel free to call us at 789-0318 or email us. I've got the old email account open. They can email us at
godspointofview@yahoo.com. And yeah, I'll throw something out.
Go ahead, brother.
Kim Davis. I mean, if anything is making a stand across this nation, it's in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And is it today that she goes to court or maybe tomorrow? I've lost track.
Sure.
I'm not sure. But God bless her, and I would ask that everybody would pray for this lady. What courage and boldness she is showing. Even the Supreme Court has said, you must do this. And there's some people saying, well, she's the court clerk, and she must, you know, she should abide and do her job. But I'm thinking the voters voted this lady in for court clerk for a reason.
They did, and I think one of the really sad things about this, the liberals, the progressives, the homosexual militant movement wants to shame people. You know, looks like they would think about their shame, but they want to shame other people and bring up things in their own lives. For instance, they've criticized her because she's been married 3 or 4 times, I think, and she had a child out of wedlock. So they're going back to before she was a Christian.
Yeah, to drag out the
dirt.
Yeah, drag out the dirt.
To make her look
smear the mud.
Bad.
Yeah.
But you see, that's what Christ offers us, is to take our bad and turn it into good. And so they're bringing out things that she did before she knew Jesus. Sinners need to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so she came to Jesus.
Yeah.
And now she's trying to obey what she believes Jesus would have her to do. Actually, in 2004, our Constitution was changed here in the state of Kentucky. And the governor could fix this if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He could fix it.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because he himself is a liberal.
Yeah, I would love to see some officials with the state stand behind her and speak and support this lady.
I would love all of our Christian legislators.
Yeah, amen.
Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of I'm thinking of our brother Hubie Collins.
Yeah.
I love Hubie.
Mm-hmm.
I vote for Hubie.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for Hubie to make a statement about it. I really would. I guess I'm calling you out, Hubie.
Oh my.
Come on. I mean, it's not time to be delicate it's time to take a stand.
Well, we talked about this before, and I know we're running short on time here, but we talked.
We need another 30 minutes.
We need another 30 minutes. We talked about this, and I think I brought up with the school board that God bless our school board leaders that we have here in Johnson County, but there's going to come a time that we're going to have to stand and support them.
Sure,
this is the same thing. It's just a few counties away.
But absolutely.
This is absolutely the same thing. And if Christian people can sit back, well, we're praying, and that's a wonderful thing, but I think our voice needs to be not only heard but seen as well. And I would love to see thousands of people, if they were to come, she had to go to court, whatever she has to do, maybe they're going to come and issue a warrant for her.
Yeah.
I would love to see thousands of people
for
them to have to walk through and say, you know what? Because at some point, somebody's going to start thinking, we're going to create, this is a hornet's nest.
Listen,
if we don't put a stop to it.
If we don't stand for the county court clerks.
Yeah.
And then they come for us in our churches. Who's going to stand for us?
Amen. Amen. You're right.
We have never known a time
such as this
in our country before. And it's time for all of us, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you may be. One of the things I liked about the rally at Frankfort is that I believe his name is it Sam Davis? Is he also a Casey County court clerk?
I think so, yeah.
And he said a few things, and one of the things he said that I liked was that he was a Republican, but Kim Davis was a Democrat, and he said they haven't had one bit of trouble working together because their stance is based upon thus saith the Lord. Why couldn't we all do that?
Amen.
I know that sounds naive and idealistic, but I am a naive and idealistic person when it comes to some things, and I really believe that one of these days we're all going to be one.
Hmm.
Why can't we get a start on it now?
Because of where you live, in Realville.
Amen. I am the mayor, you know, Realville.
Realville. Folks, we want to thank you for joining us today for God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church. This program is paid by the Highland Church of Christ, and if you'd like to come and worship with us, we'd love to have you. Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school. Sunday morning at 10:30 for worship service, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and again Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and don't forget about Looking to Jesus, 7 a.m., right here at WSIP. Again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.